one day enter a flight and pray that it flies to a well-developed country at night. You know, don't land during the day. Land at night and see the beauty of the earth from the skies. What I'm saying, are you getting it? Just think about it. This is the way I understand it. God opened the eyes of Abraham and said, see. Now, this is what I believe. I believe seriously that I don't think Abraham was just looking at the stars alone. And like, you know, twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. Was he an astrologer? I don't think so. Remember those days, he didn't understand the number of galaxies there were. What am I going to explain? That, you see, vision is very powerful. I'm one person that I'm persuaded, I haven't studied the scriptures, that when the angels came and ministered to Jesus Christ in the garden to give him strength, one of the things they did was to bring their multimedia projector and a screen. And they said, shoot. And they started showing him pictures, all right, of what his death and resurrection was going to bring to the earth. Do you get my point? Because the Bible said, for the joy that was set before him, that was how he endured the cross. They put something before him. They showed him something. Look at that. I'm persuaded the same thing happened with Abraham. When he would dream, he would suddenly have a vision. And he would look at the streets of a country like the United States that we know today. And they would say, what? And they would show him deserts that maybe people like current day Israel turned into living land. Are you getting what I'm going to say? I was talking with a man who works in Doha. That's in what do you call it, Qatar, for about 13 years today. And he was describing what these guys did in desert land. That when you get there, you see how beautiful the place is. What human beings can create in a desert. Abraham will just take this. What? He said, so shall your descendants be. After that, Abraham said, no problem. What do you say you want? You say you want Isaac. I caught the snake. That he had pictures. That is, he knew that. Now, he didn't personally experience it. But he knew that his descendants would get it. And for him, that was worth the wait. You know, I was thinking about it yesterday. That as things stand today, are you getting me? I have written and archived more materials than Paul did. Paul the Apostle. Yes. That is, you know, so if you want to look at it on that level, let me tell you, I don't work, forget, around nonsense. There is a spirit behind, it's not just the number of ones you count. I'm bringing out something. If you want to count Paul, you won't count the number of books he wrote. Count the millions and millions and millions of people that wake up every day to read something that Paul wrote. Now, do you get the point I'm making now? It's not how many messages you have put on digital library. Count it. Think about it. Those are my books that I'm talking about. If you check it, at least 10% of the text of those books are Paul's words. Even the ones we have, you know, we are gathered here now, analyzing the writings. Now, you are getting the point I'm making. While he was alive, how many of these happened? Nothing. He just wrote a few letters. He went around preaching, wrote a few letters, no recorded message, built no church. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then died in peace. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I'm saying that as people begin to grow, all right, they begin to learn, especially when we grow in spiritual things, to think in terms of what? Generations. I have a few kids. I'm already, that is what I'm thinking now. I said, there are things I wouldn't want to do, even if I were tempted, just so that my children would be blessed. Now, if you ask me as a person, say, Pastor Bank, you know what? There's one old B2 I saw somewhere they are selling. Want to buy it? That's God speaking. No. We'll refurbish it for you. This is the only car you will drive all your life. Yeah? But all your children, the moment they do like this, they'll be buying Lamborghinis. They will have so much money. They will be giving out buses and all of that. Anyone who listens to you preach and practices the truth that you are preaching, any one of them, every single one of them, they will buy anything they want, give out cars, fly jets, and do that. Say, what? Are you serious? Say yes. The only thing, say, oh boy, well, you, Only B2. You fly once in a while, but around now, this B2 is your own alone. If that's the condition that God gives, do you think anything, a righteous man will complain? Say, God, no problem. Share my children will be blessed. Anybody that listens to the word I pray, they will be blessed. Bring the B2. Are you getting my point? It's when you're a child, you say, what about me? No. I'm trying to bring out something about the inheritance. You know, all these stories about what? Inheritance. That when Jesus lived, most of the things he prayed for, they were granted. No, all of them were granted him. Most of them he never experienced personally. Do you understand my point? But they are still his own. Go and read the Psalms. Everything he said in the Psalms. Who forgave all your iniquities? He did not sin. Do you get my point? But forgiveness of sins, God said, all right, fine, take. It's your own. Be merciful unto me, O God, my Savior. God said, fine, take. It is your own. I don't know what that you are getting what I say. When he will pray against people that have risen up against him, they have come against me, Lord, in 7 ways. Let them be scattered. No, come in 1 way. Let them be scattered in 7 ways. God says, no problem. The ones that will come against you will kill you. But the scattering I have given to you. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm making. That is all those things that Jesus prayed to the Father for and suffered for. They were granted him. That's the word the Bible calls his inheritance. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to say. When the Bible talks about, therefore God highly exalted him, that's his inheritance. Everything he suffered for, that's what the Bible calls what? His inheritance. Please, you know, I've spent so much time to get that concept into our minds. Because we shouldn't just read the Bible and just, you know, gloss over it. Those are the things that he calls his inheritance. Everything that God legitimately will have paid him back for his suffering. The point is that every single thing that's been granted, and the Bible calls it his inheritance. So what do we do with it? Listen to that. He said, everyone that's a child of God is a heir of God. And I like the way it says in the New Living Translation. It said, since we are his children, we will share his treasures, for everything God gives to his son Christ is ours too. Let me tell you something. Reading the Bible is not religious exercise. Have you read your Bible today? You haven't. Go back into that room and go and read your Bible. How can you go out in a day without reading your Bible? No. It is, there's one tip. The first gift I ever gave my wife then, typed by Bishop Oyedepo, titled Go for Discoveries. That is, the study of the scriptures is for what? Discoveries. So that you will know that which rightfully belongs to Christ. We'll discuss that later. When we're talking about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. You will find out that every time God describes sufferings, he will talk about glories. Jesus experienced the sufferings, and then God gave him the glory, and he kept it. And every one of his children is allowed to partake of that glory. What I'm saying, I hope it's not sounding too technical. Is it clear? Now, having explained the meaning of the word is inheritance, the Bible said that if we are going to experience it, however, it said, New Living Translation says, but if we are to share his glory, We must also share his suffering. Now, before I talk about that suffering, let's just jump down to verse 19. It's verse 18. I want to read that verse 18 from the Amplified Bible. So, in the Amplified Bible, say like this: "But what of that? That is, so we are to share of his suffering. Do you understand what I mean? So that we can share of his glory." In verse 18, Amplified says, "So what?" He said, "That's nothing." I'm putting my own words now. He said, because I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared. Let me just now read it. I want to just get that concept out. Let me now read it from a New American Standard. He said, so what? So we have to share in his glory, suffering? No problem. He said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together, until now. And not only that, He said, not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, that is the manifestation of it, that's what I was talking about, which is the redemption of our body. Now, please, I don't want to read too far because I have many things to say about that. Now, what he was saying is that because of this, of the glory that's to be revealed, he said it's not a big thing, therefore, to partake in the sufferings of Christ. Let me just explain something briefly, which we have discussed in the past when we talk about the sufferings of Job and stuff like that. The interesting part about life is that God makes it a rule. This is how it goes. There's always the sufferings of Christ before the glories follow. Are you getting my point? There's a matter of fact in life. In fact, Paul said, as a soldier of Christ, he told Timothy, you must learn to do what? Endure hardship. I want to say something briefly about that. Because one of the things you find in life is that people are unable to endure. And we have sometimes colored, you know, the gospel to make it appear as if people are not supposed to suffer anything in life. In fact, I remember one man teaching faith. Then he came to Nigeria, not a Nigerian. And he spent time trying to turn that scripture upside down that says that Jesus left us examples that we should suffer in his footsteps. That Jesus wasn't saying we should suffer. I don't know what I get what I say. Therefore, you see, one of the jokes I've seen in Christianity in the recent times is the most of them they are produced from America, actually. I'm not saying America is a bad country, they are good people, but this came out of them, all right? Their marriage vows have been rewritten. Are you getting what I say? You know, the traditional marriage vows, I'm not saying it wasn't like that in the Bible, but the reason why people change is one I couldn't understand. They say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. What is there any other one? And then till death do us part. First time I heard about it, they said, together we will stand against sickness. I said, very good. But while you are standing against the sickness, see, you are still going to be married and committed. So it is still in sickness and in health. Say, no, don't prophesy evil. It's not prophesying evil. It will happen. Do you follow the point I make? For richer, for poorer, of course. The rich also cry. That is, sometimes they get really broke. No, because they remember, because, I mean, those days, it was as if, no, Christians don't go through any kind of adversity. But let me say clearly, it is not true. I hope you hear what I said. It is not true. The trial of your faith is not an examination hall in which they give you a timetable that, look, your exam is tomorrow. Go and buy pencil and paper. The trial of your faith are actually literal physical difficulties that a man goes through. Do you follow the point I'm making? They're actually what? Literal physical difficulties that a man goes through. That's just the way it is. But the way it comes is this. The Bible talks about persecution that comes as a result of the word. You know, we're talking about the kingdom of God suffering violence. And the violent taking it by force. I explained something there. That when you have to stand, all right, in the face of that, when you want to obey God's word, are you getting me? You often have to stand against people that have been entrenched, that have been solidified in that which is not God's order. Remember what I said? That when the parents of the man that was born blind that Jesus healed, when they asked them, how was your son healed? Then they said that, we don't know. Go and ask him his of age. The Bible said they were afraid because the Jews had agreed that anybody who confesses him will be put out of the synagogue. Remember the explanation I gave then? That it's not as it's not like today, say, okay, you won't come to Kingdom World Ministry meetings again. So, no problem. Are you the only people that are there? We'll go somewhere else. Those days, no be like that too. You don't come to the synagogue when they are discussing the IPOs, you won't hear. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't come to the synagogue when they want to do the real deals. They won't include you. It's after the synagogue meeting that the men gather. You don't come to the synagogue means that you will not know when they want to give out contracts. You don't come to the synagogue. It's not just about social gathering. It touches your finances. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. That's what they call the sufferings of Christ. Are you getting the point I'm making? Look, that is, when persecution arises because of the word. So sometimes you want to do what is right. You want to face life in obedience to God. And people tell you that you are very, very silly. That is, a man's enemy literally becomes the people of his own household for trying to obey God. Remember what I said on Saturday? That you say, we'll get back into that. Maybe, in fact, a lot of things I'm saying now, we'll definitely discuss it again in a different light on Saturday. Talking about the fact that when he talked about who is it that obeys the voice of his servant and yet walks in darkness and has no light. That is when a man begins to obey God's order, it is not instantly he starts getting rewards. It's not instantly that things start working. A lot of times he appears to be walking in darkness. Everybody else will appear to have sense. He won't appear to have sense. Are you getting my point? It's how he handles those sufferings. That's the point I'm coming to. That decides what he will get in the time of glory. Are you following my point? Like he said here, if we are going to share his glory, we also have to first share his what? His sufferings. Listen, life is an assignment. You've heard me say it. I want to quickly move on this thing I'm saying, but let me just use this one to explain it. Life is an assignment. Don't ever forget that. What you look at in life is, like somebody said in church the other day, he said, where am I needed? That's what you think about first in life before you think about, where can I get something from? What can I contribute to life? The reason is that if you don't look at life as an assignment, when suffering comes, you think that it will be, that is as if you are not a man of faith, you are not walking with God, you know, things are not flowing because you have not yet understood the key to make them flow. Joshua, did he believe God or did not believe God? At Kadesh Barnea, he did. Did he enter the promised land one day ahead of the rest of the doubting Israelites? No. Why? Simply because he was meant to take them in. Therefore, he had to endure hardship with doubters. For the next 40 years, he endured the hardship. I use myself as an example, well, because it has happened to me. That means there are discussions I've had, because many times in the past, people have looked at me and they will feel like, because by virtue of my career, my social, you know, surroundings in life, Nobody says that nonsense anymore. You know, there's a place you get to in life. People have left, they'll leave you alone. Number one, that because now they have understood that it's foolishness now for you to obey them. Those days when I first finished my postgraduate and I came to Enugu and started to work, several times I entered into discussion, both with relatives and strangers and friends, on how Nigeria is a very bad country and how people like me need to go somewhere and go and make a better life for ourselves. And I always said simply, what is a bad country? The road is bad. Nepal is taking light. In fact, Nepal has now grown worse since. Nepal has now gotten worse over time. But the point I'm making here is this. Then, I always used to tell people that. They said, you go to this kind of place, they will just treat you there like a king. My answer always is that, wait, where do you think I'm needed most? I said, the position I'm occupying here has been vacant for about 10 years. And remember what I told you, when I went to MD Anderson, that's in Houston, Texas, they had 100 pathologists in one institution, one single institution. The one I'm talking about, when I came to occupy the post, nobody had held that position for 10 years. I said, you get there, they will treat you better. I said, but oh boy, who will do the job I'm going to leave behind? I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. That is, I'm ready to endure the hardship because I have come to understand, all right, that life is first of all what? An assignment. Are you getting my point? It is not about what I can get out of life. Please, we must get that one into our mind. Because what I'm saying that sometimes when you have to execute the assignment of God for your life, it appears like you are what? You are suffering. But the Bible says that without that suffering, if we read down from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, when you're talking about the afflictions that you endure, it said it is in that that God qualifies you for the salvation that you are going to inherit. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. The point here is this, that it said if we are going to, all right, be glorified with him, and when we're talking about being glorified with him, definitely we are talking about things that will become tangibly manifested on the earth, because spiritual things, again, they're like that. Every time in life, God gives us what? A foretaste of what eternity is going to be like. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say here. We are not preaching that, look, don't that statement doesn't even make sense. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. We don't enjoy suffering. Who enjoys suffering? Nobody. What the Bible only said is that we should what? Endure hardship. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Because a time will come, most certainly, when the things that you have endured the hardship for, all right, then you begin to get glorified in them. And that's one thing about Christianity you must understand. I said it is the ability to bring life out of that which appears to be dead. But this is the point. Anybody who is not ready to endure the hardship, who is not ready to go through the sufferings of Christ, most certainly is not ready for his glory. Listen, you know, I said concerning Job, that God used Job as a reference point. Job lost so much, and in the midst of all his adversity, he kept on saying, even though he slays me, yet will I trust him. Are you getting my point? In everything, the Bible says Job did not sin with his mouth. Do you follow my point? And then one day, because he had endured that suffering, God now glorified him. I said that every Christian, that we will not have to go through the depths of the adversity of Job, but the door to such sufferings will be open to you first. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. One day you will lose something that is precious to you. And then God says, let me see how you will respond in the midst of your adversity. I said that every experience in life is to conform us with the image of Christ. Because without the trial of your faith, you can never qualify for the glory that will follow. Most of the things we preach in Christianity, that is, sometimes when we were, as preachers, we were preaching, he said, listen, in Jesus' name, your tomorrow will be great. Then we quote a scripture and read it out. We pastors, we like to prophesy with it. I don't do that much here because we're just teaching. God said, I should tell you, and it's not a lie. No, I don't laugh. No, don't laugh because it's not a lie. Though your beginning be small, your latter end shall greatly increase. And I take another beautiful scripture. I read it over your head. You know the interesting part? Those scriptures are very correct. They are the things that the Bible calls what? The glories to follow. When they have finished prophesying that over your head, you will now go home. And God say, oh boy, you want those things? Say, yes, sir. You want them? Step number one, endure the suffering. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Step number one is what? Endure the suffering. No, that's the summary of what I'm going to explain. All those prophecies you hear, somebody says something once. He said, how do preachers manage to always find those good things and always... They are there. They didn't make it up. They are in the Bible like that. The balance to it is that when you are finished hearing the sweet, sweet words, then you go back and go and do what? Endure the sufferings. Sometimes you know how God handles people. You will have prayed one prayer. You say, God, in the name of Jesus, you will do this for me, do this for me. God said, no problem. The glories of Christ, they are yours. Are you not a child of God? Say, I'm a child of God. All good things are yours. Amen. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He said, yes. Then now, maybe that has to do with your business. It has to do with you want to build a big house. You want to marry a good wife. The things that you want for yourself. Then you will now go home one day. When I say home, you go to your hometown. They will now sit down. And then negotiation will now start on a matter that is entirely unrelated. Now, please, get the danger in relating with God. They bring up talk on a matter that's entirely unrelated. Now, this is the point. If you vote to the left, now, maybe everybody will say, this is how we want it. Then you look at it. God suddenly opens your eyes and says, this stand these people are taking is wrong. It's evil. But let's assume that they're about to elect you the chairman of maybe one association at home. All right? And you like the glory of being the chair. You get what I'm trying to say? Then everybody will stand up and say, this is how we want this thing done. We want to tax strangers in our area like this. Anybody, look, if you're not from this hometown, if you rented a shop, we are ending the... maybe you want to rearrange business to favor the indigents. And then you look at it, and the Bible says it's evil to do that to somebody who has, lived securely by your side. Now, remember, before you left the city, you had some dangerous prayers. Are you getting my point? You now get there. God, now, people ask, okay, now, chair, what do you think we should do? And you've seen where everybody else is going. You know the interesting part? What they call the sufferings of Christ is this. If you don't follow them, you don't get the post. They will call you names. Don't mind them. That's how you will be behaving as if he's the only one that's a Christian. And maybe all you need to do is keep quiet. And you are spared the harassment. And God will say, if you keep quiet, you have rejected the sufferings of Christ. No, you are not getting the point I'm making. Maybe one of your cousins wants to go and marry from somewhere, and everybody has sworn that nobody in that place marries from there. No, we will never agree. No, it's our culture. No, it's not agreeable. You know, all you needed to do is keep quiet. None of your business. Do you get my point? But you know he's a believer. You know he's a Christian. You know the reason why he's doing what he's planning to do. You know, he has said that if any man be in Christ, a new creature, he has made up his mind that according to God's word, I want to do this. Now, you are the only one that could stand on his side. Are you getting me? But you don't want to look like an idiot. And you have the choice of just saying, don't mind this bujo, and you go and tell him behind, look, don't mind them. Just do as your spirit leads you, all right? But I have something to quickly do in town. I'll be back. You are running away knowing that you have to voice your opinion. Do you get what I'm raising? Listen, you know what God... No, I'm telling you, what I'm talking about the sufferings of Christ. God will say, oh boy, come. That guy is your brother. You are the only one that can speak for him here. All right? You just know in your heart. I know all the answers to the prayer that you have prayed before you left town. The answers are yours. Jesus collected them from the beginning. They are yours. But he said, for you to receive the glories, you must go through what? The sufferings. So God said, this is how, what the suffering is. Open your mouth and tell the truth. Say it the way it is. Despite the consequence, what you're standing will appear like, how people will think you're a fool. Go ahead, open your mouth and say it. You know the interesting part? If you close your mouth and don't say anything, deliverance will arise from that guy, from somebody else. But as for you and your father's, you know, that is all the prayers you have prayed, forget it. You can sow all the seeds you want. You know, Christians, they think all they need to get anything out of God is to sow seed towards it. Listen, my friend, you can't buy jack from God's hands. You hear what I said? You cannot use money to buy anything from God's hands. A lot of times, all God is saying is that your inheritance that is yours, you will experience the manifestation if you are willing to suffer with Christ. I have described this scenario to let you know that, you see, spiritual things, the way they work is interesting. You can't link it. That's why I'm tired of testimonies all the time that I wanted this from God and I gave towards it. Most of the things that will beget things from the hand of God for you, you won't even know you are doing them. Believe what I'm trying to say. You won't even know you are doing them. Under those seconds, they will not turn to you and say, what do you say? They may not even turn to you. The ground could just open. Everybody will be quiet at the time. One or two eyes will look at you. You know it's your cue to start talking. Then you are ashamed of him before people. Then suddenly he's ashamed of you before his father and his holy angels. Do you get the point I'm making here? Listen, you know, when we are taking our stands in life, be careful. You must always take your stand on the side of Christ. Sometimes, a lot of times, it actually leads to what the Bible calls sufferings. Those are the things that they call the sufferings of Christ. It's good not to be a popular person. That is, in Jesus' name, may you not be popular. It's critical that you are not popular. That once you are able to say, don't mind him. You know, he's not normal. His own things are always upside down. He doesn't think like normal people. That's part of the sufferings of Christ. Without that, you will not qualify for what? The glories. Now, so he said, but then, this is what the truth. No matter what it is that we suffer, he said, it is small compared to what, all right, the glories will be. I'm just doing all of this. So I will understand. When we are using terms like the spirit, when we are using the terms, are you getting what I'm saying? Like inheritance, glory, there is something that it means. Now, he said, for the anxious, 19. He said, for the anxious longing of the creation, wait eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. And then now went ahead from verse 20. Let me stop there. I just want to explain something about that one briefly, which was what I would develop on from next time. Of course, what we're trying to do is just to understand exactly what Paul was saying, all right? And the things that God wants us to learn from those letters. Now, what I want us to understand later is this, is the fact that most of the things on this earth, not the most of the things, everything on this earth, we talk about problems to society. All right? Do you know the interesting part? For a nation like Nigeria, they cannot be solved. And this is a prayer point. You have to start praying like this. They can't be solved until the problems in the church, all right? The body of Christ is solved. You remember what I said? Did I say it here? Okay, no. It was my office. My friend and I were discussing. I said, people said those days, the Ananias and Sapphira, they lied before Peter and the apostles. And what happened to them? They die suddenly. That people don't die anymore these days. I said, how can they die? Those ones died because Peter and the rest were not telling lies. Now, the Peter is a liar. The James there is a thief. You know, John there is a crook. So Ananias and Sapphira, why should he die? God said, why should I kill him? He's more honest than the guy collecting the... Oh God. I know what I'm saying. And it's not exactly, it's supposed to be a joke. So my brother and I was yesterday in the office, or last week, we were analyzing it. I said, Ananias is not going to die. No, I look, now, that's from one level. That's within the church. Then, outside, corruption. God, you have to do something. God say, me? You want me to start? Olayinka? You remember that gist? You have forgotten. It's the story of the man who has slaves. And his son, he had a son. He says, Daddy, we should know all the slaves we have. We have to write names on all of them, brand them, and count them, and number. The man said, oh boy, if we count the slaves will become sad. The boy hassled his father until one day, he said, okay, let us gather all the slaves and start numbering them. Slave number one, they told the boy to go forward. Ah, he said, wait. He said, you now, you are the first one. Ah, wait. Ah, the father said, you are not my son. Just because I liked you when you were young and I adopted you. I bought your mother and you when you were a baby. And that's why I've been telling you all the while. I don't want to number slaves. Leave me alone. But since you insisted, you are the first one. That is why he said, God, judge corruption. God, judge, God say, you want to judge corruption? You want me to judge corruption? Okay, I will start with you people. I will start. That's how I'm going to start. All those of you who lie from the pulpit, you are worse than politicians. I hope you know. After the politician man doesn't even lie. He doesn't even campaign anymore. He negotiates and collects the thing. But if you stand on the pulpit and start telling lies in the name of God, you add to his word, you take away from it. He said, I have to make you a liar. You see, as you judge the world that has not believed, what about you that has believed and you are still lying as a Peter and a James and a John? You will say Ananias and Sapphira has not yet died. The next, oh God, you are getting what I say? Talking about the creation, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's difficult for Christians to pray effectively against corruption because as a body of Christ, there's a lot of corruption inside. Plenty of it. Dealing deceitfully with God's word. Using the word of God. You know, Paul said that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and handling the word of God deceitfully. Craftily, using God's word, you know, to manipulate people. We do that. In God's eyes, it's not a joke. You see, the Bible says that God is long-suffering. You see, is there corruption? God says, oh, you guys, don't preach against the world. You have to talk to yourself. You talk to yourselves first. If you just agree amongst yourselves that this is bad, it's evil, we won't do it anymore. Then I will forgive you. Then shout to everybody else. Since I'm not so concerned about them, they are not as much with my children as you are, then I cannot start judgment. But as things are right now, if judgment begins in the house of God, how are we going to explain it? So say, therefore, I'm long-suffering for waiting for everybody to what? Repent. What am I going to explain? It's when the church, this is how it works, when the leadership in the church straightens up, all right, then the rest of the church will straighten out, and then the world has a choice to either straighten or be judged. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm making. Until that time, anyway, God is long-suffering. He's not ever suffering. If you're a preacher, you have to be careful. I do some of the things I do, all right, because like I always say, I want to live long. I really, honestly, please, if you have not been reading, may God help you, all right? If you're a preacher, as an example, please go and read God's Generals. Then take Kenneth Hagin's books. Books like He Gave Gifts Unto Men. Books like Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. Books like The Triumphant Church. Read a lot of those books and you will learn crucial wisdom for life. I'll continue. I'll develop that one next time. Talking about first, the sons of God is as they enter into the liberty of the glory of the inheritance of Christ that the world begins to experience the same thing. Sorry, let me just say this in passing again, just to conclude. That thing I've been saying every time is not a joke. It's not a joke. I discussed with the man, that's about blacks and their problems. I discussed with the man that I was talking about today, talking with today about, I said that I have a problem with Arabs. He said, why? He said, because propaganda. I said, no, it's not because of American propaganda. As a white man, we look down on the black man. The Arab, too, will raise his head. Do you understand my point? And then who gave him the guts to look down on anybody just because he has oil? He now began to tell me that if you get to Qatar where he was, There were blacks who are Qataris also. That even there, they are kept down. You can join the army, but you can't rise beyond a certain rank, maybe major, captain. Definitely not beyond major. I said, why? He said, the reason is because those days, that there too, that a lot of the ancestors came there as slaves. Are you getting me? That they used to go and kidnap young black boys from Northern Africa to come and ride camels for them. So he described it that they had a lot of civilization and all of that. So at the end of the day, in summary, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, shall he be. When Abraham left Egypt, he took an Egyptian maid. When you hear that these people married, Leah and Rachel, and their father will give them a maid as they are living. Those maids, all right, go and trace it. They are descendants of them, Ham. You will see, Abraham was descendant, I think, of Shem or Japheth, one of the two. Shem, all right? But then all those maids, they are descendants of Ham. Oh, God, have mercy on me. I don't want to work for a foreigner, honestly. Maybe it's my Christian pride. Because this subjugation of a black man is spiritual. That is the point I'm making. That the deliverance for the nations, all right, for the black nations, lies in the hands of the church. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Let me give an example. The spirit of Christ in Ben Carson's mother, all right, rose up and made him a head. All the liberation they've had, Martin Luther King, somewhere like that, those guys were Baptist ministers. The man who started all the deliverance, all this emancipation, black, the civil rights, it wasn't Martin Luther King. It was a pastor of the church, all right, that was sacked, that he replaced. That is literally, this is not, it's not just talk. As a matter of fact, the deliverance for those in captivity lies with the sons of God. It's the manifestation of the sons of God that will deliver mankind. The whole of creation, when I talk about creation, I'm talking about the world first. Before you talk about ozone, what is ozone layer or global warming? You know, I'm one of those guys who think that global warming is a joke. I don't believe in it. I most certainly don't. I'm not saying the world is not getting warmer. Are you getting me? But if you like, stop burning fossil fuel, it will get warmer. I don't believe stopping burning fossil fuels. People, you have to find work to do. You're an ex-president. You have to go around talking. Find a cause to, you know, when you're no longer president, you have to do something. Exactly. There are only two now. Sudan, that's three. You had Darfur, you know, HIV, and global warming. You have to find work. When you don't sing, tire. There's nothing to sing again. You have hundreds of millions of dollars to call your own. You have to look for something to give. You have to wake up in the morning chasing something. So a lot of this is about global warming. I say, none of the people are scientists. None of those talkers. Not one is a scientist. What's Bill Clinton? What's Al Gore? Bono, are there any of them scientists? They can't understand. They just hear on TV, global warming, we are burning too much fossil fuel. You only know about global warming when China started burning. All the years you have been burning, you didn't know there was global warming. Anyway, let's leave that one. That's not my message. My problem is that the solution to all the crises of the world, all right, they come out spontaneously if the church will arise and take its place. Let's leave the world. Let's talk about Nigeria.